Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Initially, I want to talk about Hillary Clinton because it's the end of the convention season. The campaign is about to begin. Who's going to win, Hillary or Donald? I really want to ask you what you think the dangers are in electing either of them. They both have lots of negatives. Their supporters will no doubt point to the positives. But is it going to be very difficult for either of them to build the kind of coalition that they need to win? Who's your money on, and what are the dangers of electing either of them? 0345 6060 973. Before we cross live to the United States, let's just listen to a couple of highlights from Hillary Clinton's speech at the Democratic Party's National Convention in Philadelphia last night.
America is once again at a moment of reckoning. Powerful forces are threatening to pull us apart. We will not build a wall. Instead, we will build an economy where everyone who wants a good job can get one. A country where all our children can dream, and those dreams are within reach. Where families are strong, communities are safe, and yes, where love trumps hate. When any barrier falls in America, it clears the way for everyone. After all, when there are no ceilings, the sky's the limit. And you know what? If fighting for affordable childcare and paid family leave is playing the woman card, then deal me in. Donald Trump says he wants to make America great again. Well, he could start by actually making things in America again.
Well, that was Hillary Clinton speaking at the Democratic Party's National Convention last night. I suppose that means that this is the first official day of the American presidential election campaign. I'm the view that the result of this campaign could define the United States for a generation. I don't think that's too over-exaggerated. Let's talk to Simon Marks, our US correspondent. Simon, good afternoon.
Hello, Ian. I think definitely not over-exaggerated, because if you just look at the number of Supreme Court justices that the next president of the United States is likely to appoint, whoever that next president is, they are going to end up having a very long tail hold over American society, if only through the number of appointments they make to the Supreme Court. So this is a big, big election.
Now, you've been at both conventions. Where are we now? Where are the polls? And what do you think is likely to happen over the next few weeks? The election, of course, isn't till early November.
Right. I mean, so the early polling data that we've seen, and it is early polling data, suggests that Hillary Clinton did herself a big favour at this convention, not just with her speech, but with the convention more generally, because it was so much more slickly produced than the Republican convention, and they had such a deep bench of speakers supporting her and backing her up. Even better music. I mean, Paul Simon, Lenny Kravitz, Katy Perry. The Republicans had absolutely nothing to match that last week, and they didn't have the rhetoric rhetoric because so many Republican leaders boycotted Donald Trump's convention and are boycotting his campaign. The big question is she going to get a substantial enough bounce in the polls that she can establish a bridgehead? And we really don't know that yet. The other point to make is this is going to be a very long campaign. We're 102 days away now from Election Day. These conventions were held much earlier in the cycle than usual. That means the campaigning will go on for much longer than usual. And I think there's a real question about how Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump still feel fresh and don't become stale in the minds of the American public by the time we get to November the 8th. It's a long way away.
The Bernie or bust thing rather petered out, and I think the Democratic Party looks a lot more united at the end of the week than it did at the beginning. What about the state of both parties here? Are they both united behind their candidates now?
Well, the Democrats are much more united behind their candidate than the Republicans are, and there are Republicans who are never going to unite behind Donald Trump. He's just going to have to live with that situation. The George Bushes, the Mitt Romneys, the John McCain, they will not lift a finger to help him get elected. I think we're viewing the possibility of a big shift in the way in which these parties do business. At the Democratic convention last night, there were so many speeches that would more normally have been heard at a Republican convention. Indeed, an entire section of the convention last night where Republican voters who say they are going to vote for Hillary came onto the stage and made their appeal to independent voters and other Republicans out there to join the Hillary Clinton campaign. And you've got a Hillary Clinton campaign that is portraying itself as the sugary campaign of optimism versus the dark sort of Darth Vader campaign of Donald Trump. The Republicans, Hillary Clinton said last night, have gone from morning in America, which of course is the phrase that Ronald Reagan used, to midnight in America. So they're portraying the Republicans as the party of pessimism, the Democrats as the party of sunny optimism. The relief of that, if you like, turn the coin over and you've got Donald Trump saying, well, actually, this election is defined slightly differently. We're the party of change. We want to shake everything up and bring change to America. It's Hillary Clinton who represents continuity, the same old stuff that you've seen with Barack Obama. So very interesting point for both political parties, which find themselves wandering down roads that they perhaps wouldn't have imagined they'd be wandering down a year ago.
Simon, thank you. That's Simon Marks, our US correspondent. Let's keep in the United States. Let's cross to Aspen, Colorado, where we find PJ Crowley, who was Assistant Secretary of State under Hillary Clinton. PJ, thank you very much for talking to us again. Where do you think the two parties are at the end of their conventions?
Well, I certainly agree with Simon that Hillary Clinton did what she needed to do in Philadelphia, I think very significantly, you tried to bring the Bernie Sanders, segment of the party along and make it clear that there's a profound choice in November and there is no real choice from a Democratic standpoint. They need to support her.
Is she ready for the fight that's coming? Because I know she's had a lot of mud thrown at her over the last couple of decades at various points in her life, but I'm not sure that she's ever going to have had anything like she's going to face from Donald Trump. How does she deal with Donald Trump?
Well, I think we saw a glimpse of that, last night. I mean, she's no stranger to contact sports and politics, and I think she showed last night that she's very prepared, to address directly, many of the things that he has said, whether it's NATO being obsolete or building a wall and so forth. So I think she's a very resilient person. She's had her tumbles, as she acknowledged on stage last night, and it's going to be an ugly campaign, no question about it. But I think she's prepared and braced for what is going to happen over the next 100 days.
Because she must feel there is, as Tony Blair might have put it, the hand of history on her shoulder. If she does not beat Donald Trump, her colleagues will feel that she's not just let the party down, but the whole country down.
Well, there are a bunch of histories that she's fighting. Not only the first woman to be nominated by a major party, but also the fact that in recent times we've gone from 8 years Democrat, 8 years Republican, 8 years Democrat, and I think early in the campaign one would have thought that would have been something that the Republicans can take advantage of, but as the process has gone forward, what we now have is is arguably one of the least traditional political candidates we've seen in recent memory, Donald Trump, versus a very traditional candidate. And she addressed that last night by saying, "Look, I'm not a fresh face. I've been in the public spotlight for some time. You know me, but maybe you don't know me." And I think she made a very strong statement last night. I mean, as you look at politics, even with the divisions within both parties, you have to say that the campaign starts with at least 40 to 45% that will go Republican regardless, at least 40 to 45% that will go Democratic regardless, and now you're competing for that 10 or 15 or 20%, and then where are they in terms of electoral states, and that will decide who will be the next president.
PJ, thank you. That's PJ Crowley, former Assistant Secretary of State for Hillary Clinton.